Hello and good afternoon. This is Radio Apuré on air. Udo on the microphone, sort of live from Berlin. I'm the founder, active developer and housekeeper of the various projects on Radio Apuré. Let me give you a quick overview on the three major projects here on Apuré and some details on each later. I said here on Apuré. Well, after many years spent with all this, I still cannot say where exactly that is.
The sea has paused. To plot is possible. Given detachment and a careful angle, all destinations are predictable. And given too the confidence of distance, strangers may take 100 mural journeys. For once the paths are permanent, the colors outlast the seasons and the death of friends. And even though on any printed landscape directions never tell you where to go, maps are an evening comfort to the traveler. A pencil line will quickly take him home.
During the net art times in the 90s, I've been working on research projects in between art and science to find something out about the qualities and properties of networks and the so-called virtual. For example, an equivalent to a dimension, to a kilometer in real space, or to a half an hour walk on a nice summer evening. In these days, maps and mapping started to become a figure and a central metaphor of media praxis and theory. Media made a turn to geography and vice versa. Geographic information systems, formerly an area for specialists only, showed up all over the place, proposing relations between information and the territory. When Google entered the scene with their maps, things accelerated, also because of easy-to-handle interfaces and mashups, content syndication, and a vast amount of geodata provided by users. It seems that virtually endless global networks create a desire for locality too, a sense for real places and the awareness for things in between. I'm not sure about that, I'm still investigating. But even the terminology of the net, all its spatial metaphors, its browsers and navigators, explorers and surfers in an ocean of information, points in that direction. It also illustrates the degree to which our cognitive processes rely on prior experience and language. You may already know the Radio Apuré sound map, one of the long-term collaborative projects. It has started around late 2006, and it is a cartography of recordings from all over the world, open to contributions, but not open to any kind of sounds. Meanwhile, it contains almost 17,000 field and location recordings from many different urban, rural and natural environments. And from public and private spaces. I think it perfectly shows the audible complexity of our world, as well as the different perceptions and artistic perspectives of its many contributors and their relation to sound, space and place. The sound map is used and populated mainly by artists and individuals working with and interested in sound, as well as universities, organizations and institutions in quite many contexts, like workshops, seminars, tutorials and also scientific research. Not all contributions meet the standards of what we may call a quality recording. They are quite often of the point-and-shoot type. The question is whether it would be better not to have them on air. Well, I made that decision. I think it's worth to have them. A community project works different than a personal website, where you can focus solely on your ideas. If you put the rules too tight, potential contributors may get distracted from sending their sounds. That would negate the whole work. If you take a few minutes to explore the map, for example a street corner with a bunch of these recordings available, made by different people at different times and situations, you may hear something like this.
Das ist ein Bild. sound there, man. Sit there, finish this split, listen to the ladies and move on.
This is from a real place in my neighborhood, a small area of about 100 meters in diameter, around a street corner, from different persons and different times, recorded mostly with pocket recorders. I think it's a good example of the strength and possibilities of a collaborative geographic interface attached to a database of archived sounds and related information easily to access. By approaching such a place on the map, you always recognize what others have been interested in, sound-wise. You can add a different angle, a detail, a recording from another time of day. It enables ad hoc sound research groups, where people not necessarily know each other, but share an interest in a location, en passant and within the frame of their daily business. Imagine such a praxis over many years, which already happens. And it's immediately clear that this can become a valuable resource. As I walk and talk into the microphone, I've passed by three spots with recordings from past years. A thunderstorm heard behind a window at early morning, a cricket that used to live in a flower pot on the sidewalk, and a lonely blackbird singing late at night. Knowing the map changes my recognition and awareness of this place. Of course, it looks the same with or without the surrounding virtual layers of sound and information. But it has changed. There are traces inscribed into it. Traces of the presence of others, what they have heard. From talks and exchange with my contributors, I know that many share the same experience. The field is an extended one. It's shaped by our personal connotations, our experience and hints we may receive from others. Sonic surveys in a landscape of consciousness, as my favorite German poet Jürgen Becker has put it. And don't forget, these thousands of recordings are taken from real environments. It's real time spent out there listening, shared time and shared ears. Around 2007, when some corners of the map became quite populated, I got interested in how it would feel to listen back to these sounds right at their origin, where the recordings were taken, but at different times, while walking around with my feet on the ground and my ears tuned to both the sound archive on the net and the actual environment. At that time, a first generation of so-called smartphones with built-in GPS and fast internet access became available. You know the story of iPhones and Androids. So I've started developing a mobile phone app for the Apore sound map, which knows what sounds are around me and which can create a sound mix while I walk. That's the basic concept of so-called augmented reality, but with focus on the audible world. To put it short, from a simple location-aware sound browser, it quickly developed to an elaborated platform for the creation of works in between storytelling, documentation, sound, art and poetry. The name of the project is Miniatures for Mobiles. Since then, over 40 pieces have been created across Europe and the US in collaboration with universities, national radios, theaters, artists and activists. There are large pieces with hours of sound covering whole city centers, and there are ones with only a single sound. This one, for example, is a lonely poem lying around at a beach in Sicily. It's written by a friend and listener who zoomed into a recording on the map at that place and got intrigued and touched by what he heard. He sent me that poem, and I created a short piece out of it, which now exists, invisible at Milazzo Beach, but hearable, waiting for another encounter with a sympathetic mind. If that's virtuality, then I want more.
Beim Einzoomen, das Mädchen lachen inmitten der Gischtstimme, inmitten der Brandung am Strand von Milazzo, an dem ich selbst nie gewesen, obschon Kiesel zwischen den Zehen, Salz schmeckend, das Umhertollen im Fallen festgehalten vom Freund und Vater des Wildfangs, an einem grauen Oktobertag, Station einer Reise, unterhalb des Wolkengemenges, des nach dem Sturm Aufbruch verheißend.
Like the Apore sound map, it's free and open and easy to use. You don't have to be a programmer in order to create a mobile sound piece for public space. If you want to try it, let me know. Although I created it, my attitude towards this platform is ambivalent. I don't like phones much and apps even less. It's way too much hype and bad concept too. And it's difficult, expensive, time-consuming to keep up with this technology. However, within a very short period of time, smartphones and mobile computing have evoked social practices and usage scenarios which deeply change our experience of space and place. The non-mediated world seems to be a lost country, and we are just at the beginning of this change. This field exceeds its boundaries. Here and there no longer means a physical presence only. It's like we added another dimension to the well-known three. I'm rather skeptical about it. I feel distracted often, but I think we shouldn't yield the place only to the poor narratives of markets, companies and advertising. I suggest research, experimentation and artistic intervention in order to keep this field open. The Apore Miniatures for Mobiles are a tool for that.
Yeah.
These are Weddell seals and crushing icebergs at the Ekström ice shelf in the Antarctica. It's one of the open microphones I scan regularly for a few minutes of live sound to insert smoothly into the permanently running radio stream on Apori. This stream has ears. It listens for its listeners and shifts the sound to their location. It recognizes activity out in the streets and a lot more. Sometimes it creates random sonic narratives by chance out of this huge and precious body of sound from the Apori map. This stream you and some others are listening to right now is my playful attempt to explore affective geographies, new forms and practices related to radio, field recording and the art of listening. So this was a quick rush through some of the ideas, activities and tools on Radio Apori. It may appear as if I'd only sitting behind my screen programming things, which is true sometimes, but I'm using my own platform and tools a lot, and of course I have personal approaches. This is a short compilation of recordings I want to end with, all taken from the Tempelhof airfield, that large open space within the city of Berlin. I go there regularly, at different seasons, times of day and weather conditions. I'm curious about the future of this place, about which ideas will be realized here in my neighborhood. There's wind, almost always. It drives things, modulates what you can hear. Birds, voices, the surrounding church bells on Sunday mornings, the kites and the hum of the nearby motorway. You can hear the changes already. Guess where? Thanks for your patience and have a nice day.